Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, it's time to get real. Oh, yeah. It's the new experience. Yeah, keep your ears open for this one, man.
I don't think the show has ever fallen on Valentine's Day. So that is going to be one of our topics because it is a huge, huge obligation, stress, anxiety kind of day, especially if you're single. And the interesting thing about Valentine's Day, I remember most of my life, if I didn't celebrate it, or if I didn't have a significant other, or if anybody didn't buy me flowers or make attention to that holiday so I would be happy, oh my gosh, I can't even begin to tell you how many Valentine's Day days were just fell flat, disappointing. It was a day of stress, obligation. And so we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about Valentine's Day and happiness and how they relate and obligations. For the new people that have just tuned in, I get new listeners every week. First of all, thank you and welcome to Reality Spirituality. This show, me, Rebecca Norrington, what I am about is having and experiencing more happiness in life. And it's very, very simple. By moment, there are things that you can do that will subtract from your happiness, behaviors, words, thoughts that can subtract from happiness, and also there are things that add to happiness. And so what I do on this little radio show, Reality Spirituality, is talk about those things and how to either add them to our lives and give us more choices and or eliminate them because they're subtracting from happiness. Let me ask you a question. So welcome to the show. Also, let me just say in the beginning, you can go to my website, which is RebeccaNorrington.com. That's RebeccaNorrington.com. And you can follow me on Twitter at RL Norrington. Facebook is Reality Spirituality, of course. And thank you and welcome to the little reality spirit, no, the growing Reality Spirituality family. So I have a question. What do you think is the biggest problem in today's world? I mean, it's a really simple question, and the answer is going to be specific to what you think. You know, everybody is different. Everybody, we're as different as our fingerprints. A couple of weeks ago, I was in Monterey, and I was having either breakfast or lunch, I don't remember which one, but I was able to look out into the forest. Oh my gosh, if you know me, you know I love a forest. I love a good forest, and I love a wonder. I love a river running through it. It is just the most calming, peaceful, so much oxygen, the trees. And I was looking out at the trees, and do you know, I don't know if you've ever realized it before, I just realized it the first time, just like every star is different in the universe, every tree is different. You look out into the world, I don't care what kind of tree you are. Everyone, even from the same species, are trees species? Well, whatever. You know what I'm talking about. Even from the same type of tree, redwood, pine, willow, lemon, orange, all of the pear trees, all of these trees, every one of them is different. And so every one of you, my dear audience, every one of you is just as unique and just as different. What I had problems when I was younger and very unhappy is thinking that this tree, me, people should be like me or think like me. Because I remember even saying, this is really funny, that if more people were like me, the world would be a better place. The world would be a more peaceful place. If more people were like me. Yes, I did say that, and I really believed it. But one of the things that subtracts from happiness is looking out at other people and finding fault and finding something wrong with them. And I'm here to tell you, left hand up in the air, I don't know which hand I testify with, left hand up in the air, that looking out and finding fault with anybody else, and I don't care who they are, anybody else actually subtracts from your happiness. What's the solution? The solution is, what I used to do is hold my nose and accept people. Hold my nose. But the thing is, holding your nose and accepting is the same as tolerating, and tolerating doesn't flow with happiness. So the key is really to look out and accept. I know it's hard to accept those people that are different philosophies than yours, or different political parties, or have different views about world peace, or have different views about fur, or have different views about animal rights, or have different views about global warming, or different views about you name it. But when you find fault and there is a division and you're actually dividing and you're putting yourself in one group and putting the other people in another, what you're doing is you're shooting yourself in the foot, and you're subtracting from your happiness. It's true. Trust me. This mentality of division takes away from your peace and happiness and contentment. Now, again, let me just throw out my definition of happiness, because for my new listeners, I know my older listeners, you're sick of hearing it, but listen, happiness is being at peace, being content at whatever happens and whatever is not happening. That is true happiness, in my opinion. I want to welcome. I want to ask you if you'd like to call in and speak with me live. You can call in at area code 646-564-9619. Again, area code 646-564-9619, and speak with me live. Today's show. Oh, wait, I forgot to ask the question. Now I need an answer. What do you think is the biggest problem in the world, what the world faces today? Is it poverty? Is it disease? Is it hunger? Is it overpopulation, wars, religion, ISIS, global warming, animal rights? What do you think is the biggest problem in today's world. I'll wait. I got a little bit of time. I'll wait for your answer. You might have more than one answer. Oh, really? It's that? Well, the biggest problem in today's, let me give you the answer now, since you came up with the wrong answer, JK, the biggest problem in today's world is unhappy people. Unhappy people, that is the problem. Listen, happy people don't wage wars. Happy people don't cut off people's heads. Happy people don't fight. They don't argue. They don't hold grudges. How about that one? They don't hold grudges. They don't judge others. They don't complain. They don't focus on the negative. They don't focus on what's wrong. Happy people are peaceful. Happy people are content. Happy people spread and share energy that is calming, accepting. Happy people are happy. Happy people know that everything is in order. Happy people know that there are no mistakes in this universe, and for whatever reason, even if my eyes don't agree with it, if my eyes don't agree with what I'm seeing, happy people know that there is an order and a reason for everything. Even if I don't understand it, even if I was in charge of the world, I wouldn't, there are certain things that I quite frankly would omit. But happy people and people that are connected and people that know the truth know that everything is here for a purpose. That's the biggest problem in the world in my opinion. So today we're going to talk about, which is really appropriate because it is Valentine's Day, we're going to talk about being single on Valentine's Day. We're going to talk about planning on Valentine's Day. We're going to talk about just the whole obligation of Valentine's Day. I actually wrote in my first book, Reality Spirituality, The Truth About Happiness, a whole section about holidays and just holidays being overrated. And I just want to just share a little bit from my first book. My second book is going to be called Program for Unhappiness, which I'm writing right now. And my question to my audience right now is it possible to be single and happy on Valentine's Day? Is it possible to be single and happy on Valentine's Day? Well, as I shared earlier, I was with people. I was in relationships. I was either married, had a boyfriend, in relationships. And let me tell you something, a lot of my Valentine's days just fell flat. They were horrible. And the reason why, looking back, this planning for a day to be special, planning for a day, an anniversary, a birthday, a Christmas, a Thanksgiving, to make the day special. Quite frankly, yes, okay, I get what you're saying. Yeah, we could plan it. What if we don't plan? Well, what I've learned is that I'm just going to let the day unfold without any planning. Planning for the future, especially planning, when I'm talking about planning for the future, I mean planning for a day to be special. If you really think about it and sit on that, it causes a lot of anxiety and stress. First of all, with the plan comes an expectation. Now, we all know that expectations subtract from happiness. Now, I'm not talking about one expectation or expectations. I'm talking about little expectations, big expectations. I'm talking about all expectations. So when I'm planning for a Valentine's Day to be extra special, that is another way of saying having an expectation. All expectations without fail, without exception, subtract from your happiness. Now, I was, you know, I ride the bus into Los Angeles every day going to work, public transportation. And last Thursday, maybe Thursday or Friday, it doesn't matter which day, I was sitting across from two guys, and they knew each other, and so they were talking, you know, they were catching up. And then one of them said to the other, he said, "Hey, man, you got your Valentine's Day plan set?" Because these guys know that if they don't come correct, especially if they're in a relationship, not with every woman, of course, I'm not just tagging every woman, but I got to say, I was one of these women that if my man didn't have Valentine's Day, didn't have plans, then first thing that happened with me is my lips poked out. They just poked out and poked out and poked out until I, the queen, was satisfied with whatever you have planned. Oh, yeah, you had to come with you definitely had to have flowers. Definitely had to have restaurant picked out. Definitely had to have some other kind of surprise. And so these guys were talking about their plans, and I don't know what I'm going to do. What do you think about buying? We're going to get the flowers. We'll probably go to a restaurant. I'm going to surprise her with a jazz group that she likes. I mean, they were really talking about it because, and it was even, I know I stopped myself in the middle of a sentence, but I just remembered something else. I love football, and I was listening to a sports radio commentary, and one of their commercials was for, what was it for, a flower, I believe it was Pro Flowers. It doesn't really matter the name of the flower company, but the commercial was, guys, you better send your flowers or else you know what could happen. It's just so much pressure, obligation, and so what is the solution? The solution is, it started with me, and I have to say, little by little, dropping all of this stress and dropping every holiday and really treating every day as if it were a special holiday. How can I elevate one day over another day? How can I think that one day is more special than any other day? That right there is a formula, is a recipe for disaster. Every day until the day that I breathe my last breath is treated and viewed as a holiday, a special day. Quite frankly, I don't even know if I'm going to have a tomorrow. I don't. And when, I'm getting all choked up now, and when that reality sets in, what about spending and viewing and putting the energy in every single day as if it was a special last day? Now, we've heard it before. This is the first day of the rest of my life. We've heard that before. But really sit and think about it and close your eyes and breathe it in and breathe it out. Why is one day more special than another day? That feeling, I've had to let go of. And the last day is going to be my birthday. Because, oh my goodness, from a very early age, my birthday, that day was a huge deal. It was 4th of July, Christmas, Valentine's Day, Thanksgiving, Groundhog Day, all rolled into one. I had to get calls. I had to have a special lunch and dinner with the people that were in my life. All of that had to happen. And the last year, in 2015, I let go a little bit more, let go a little bit more. And in December 2016, I promise you, that day, my birthday, is going to feel like a very special day, but just as special as any day leading up to that day. Unless I don't make it to December 2016. But I really want to say that just be aware of that. Be mindful of that special holiday and what obligations. I mean, do we put an obligation on our children to show up for Thanksgiving? Do we put obligations on our children to show up for any special holiday that we deem as parents important to us? It is, I mean, you can still do that, but that putting people or letting know that you're going to disappoint someone, no, your children are going to disappoint you if they don't show up for Thanksgiving, that is a lot of pressure. And quite frankly, I don't want to put any pressure on anyone that I claim and say that I love, including Valentine's Day. I've shared this story before, but let me just really quickly. My son lives in New York, and so there are holidays. It actually started years ago, and there's holidays that I don't see him. And quite frankly, you know, the kid sometimes feels obligated to call me on my birthday, and he's even told me to make it special. I told him, hey, Nathan, please do not feel obligated to call me to say happy birthday. None of it. If you're inspired, yeah, but if you don't, please. I mean, when you love someone, is part of love making them feel obligated? Now, you can't make them feel obligated, but us as parents or people in relationships, we know how to throw in that little manipulation kind of, yeah, call me. Oh, I'll talk to you on Christmas. So, yes, when you love, you let go. It's very true. When you love, you let go, and you allow people to be themselves and make their own decisions on what they want to do on any special day. Back to Valentine's Day. You know, it's a day that people in the United States, I don't know if everybody celebrates Valentine's Day around the world. I don't know. Do people in South America celebrate Valentine's Day? Do people in Iceland celebrate Valentine's Day? That's a good question. So is it possible to be happy on Valentine's Day when you're single? And I say it is possible. Finally, thank you, because quite frankly, I'm single. Valentine's Day, no plans, absolutely none. I'm going to be my own Valentine's Day. I'm going to be my own Valentine's today. So I say it is possible, and I'm going to give you some hints. Oh, good. A lot of people are calling in, but nobody wants to say hi. If you want to speak with me, you can call 646-564-9619. Again, area code 646-564-9619. And just press the number 1 if you want to speak with me live. Now, one of the things you can do to celebrate Valentine's Day when you're single, quite frankly, listen, I used to really feel an urgency to be in a relationship. If I wasn't in a relationship, there was something missing. There was something wrong. It was, what? All was not right in the world. The stars were not aligned. The planets weren't orbiting around the sun. And I had a problem. And it wasn't until I became comfortable with myself, with my own company. Listen, people, to travel and to travel alone and to explore by myself without the company of someone else is something that I could not do in my 20s or my 30s. It was, are you kidding? I had to have somebody to talk to. And thank God and the universe and everybody else that I can go and do anything and celebrate any holiday and be okay alone. It is something that is not talked about. It is something that isn't expressed. It is something that's not practiced. But being alone, wait, hold on a second. It's more than just being alone, because a lot of people can do alone. A lot of people, yes, you can do that. But is that energy, that vibration of being okay and happy being alone, enjoying your own company, having fun with you, that is the key. So finally, in 2016, I can say this is my very first Valentine's Day that I am content without having any plans, without making anybody, without, you know, dropping hints. And Valentine's Day, what are we going to do? What are we going to do together? It's the first time in my life that I'm my own Valentine. I am my own Valentine. Ooh-wee. So it's a perfect day to focus on you. And the more you exhibit love and the more you romance yourself, if you will, and be okay with being alone, the happier and the content you can be, and quite frankly, the more you will be able to share with others this peace and love. And again, the message is, you don't have to be in a relationship. You don't have to have anything happening on Valentine's Day. It doesn't have to happen. Nothing, and that's what I'm saying, nothing has to happen. I take showers every morning with a candle in the dark. I light candles in the evening in my room. I have a beautiful room it's so girly girl. Ooh wee, with a little couch and candles, and just sit and be okay and have a moment with self. It sounds crazy, romancing self. Yeah. And what's wrong with that? Another thing on this Valentine's Day is we all talk about sharing with others and giving, being a service to others. Well, smiling, giving that energy of acceptance and love to others on this day is a gift. Maybe you want to contact somebody that you haven't talked to in a while. But again, it really comes back to being okay and content with self. So another thing you can do on Valentine's Day is just start creating a list of things that you're grateful for or appreciate, or things that that make you smile, that you have in your life. Because remember, you can't be grateful and unhappy at the same time. So just make a list of all the things that, wow, thank you, universe. Thank you for exactly where I am and being satisfied in this moment, in this day. Remember, if you're dissatisfied in your present moment, you will be dissatisfied in your future moment. The other thing you can do is you can change your perspective. What does that mean? That means that if you're finding fault or finding something wrong with this Valentine's Day, being alone or being without anyone, that's just one way to look at this day. There are tons of ways to look at this day, being alone, being single on Valentine's Day, that would actually make you feel or give you a sense of satisfaction and happiness. There, you know, just look at it. There's so many things to celebrate on a special day, Valentine's Day, every day. But let's begin switching it up and taking the title. Because, listen, Valentine's Day, Christmas, holiday, it's really another label. It's a label, and all labels, Valentine's Day, Thanksgiving, all labels are subtracting from happiness. So let's just have a day of being special. This day isn't Valentine's, well, yeah, it's Valentine's Day, but listen, I'm saying that it's not Valentine's Day. I'm going to call it another day, a day of awareness, a day of acceptance, a day of speciality. I know that's not a word, but I wanted to say it anyway. A day of being complete with self, a day of being okay with that wonderful, wonderful person in the mirror. So in my humble opinion, this is going to be the first Valentine's Day that I expect nothing and that I'm okay with everything that happens. Oof. Reality Spirituality is heard every single Sunday at 7 a.m. You can go to my website at RebeccaNorrington.com. You can email me at info@RebeccaNorrington.com. Follow me on Twitter at RL Norrington. And if you've enjoyed the show, go to Facebook, Reality Spirituality on Facebook, and like Reality Spirituality's Facebook page. This, you know, when I ask people if they want to be happy, everybody says yes. But happiness is a lot more than that. And you know what? I forgot I wanted to share a couple of stories. This has happened last week, and this is in line with being happy. I was standing in line, and there was a student in my, and if you want to speak with me, just press the number 1. And I was standing in line, and there was a student from one of my The Importance of Happiness classes. And she was maybe 15 people in front of me, and I was watching her. And so we're standing in line waiting for the bus. As I said, we take the bus I take the bus in from downtown LA every day. And she completed the class. She got her little diploma. It was an 11-week course on the importance of happiness. So she had all the foundational, all the foundation from what I taught. And there's so many things. Now, listen, I have a question for you. If you are rushing, if you are in a hurry, if you are impatient, can you be happy at the same time? Can you be impatient and happy at the same time? Can you rush and be happy at the same time? That energy, in my opinion, just doesn't mix with this contentment, this happiness. So I'm standing in line, and I'm looking at my dear student. And I'm watching her, and she's looking around, and she's looking at her watch, and she's huffing and puffing. And like the bus, then the buses are not running on schedule. They're running late. And she's looking around, and she's frantic. I mean, she does a full 360, looking for when the bus is coming. In fact, they're parked. You can see where they're parked. It's just not time for them to start their route. So they're just waiting, and she is just sitting there tapping her toe, turning her fingers, you know, twiddling her thumbs, and looking at the watch every 2 seconds. And she doesn't realize that I'm standing in line, and I'm watching her. And the first thought was, didn't you just complete my class about happiness? What are you doing? Why are you so antsy? You can't be happy with this kind of energy, what you're displaying. And finally, this is what I'm thinking. And then finally, I raise my hand and I say, hi, let me call her a different name. I'll call her Mary. That's a generic name. I say, hi, Mary. And she looks and she sees me and says, oh, hi, Rebecca. And, you know, I'm in teacher mode. And so I say, I throw out one word. I say, Mary. Yes, Rebecca. I say, relax. I say, relax. And she responded with two words. Now, I'm going to get back to what she responded with in just a second, because there's a second story that's going to tie into the first story. So I was talking to a woman, and I've known her for maybe 10 years. She's a fellow Toastmaster. I used to be in Toastmasters and give speeches. Listen to my new audience. I couldn't put two sentences together. When I first started this radio show, I was looking at the watch and wondering when 5 minutes was going to be up because I was exhausted. Now I find I can speak for a while, much to your chagrin. But yes, I can have a conversation. I can speak in front of people, but it was because of Toastmasters. But anyway, I digress. So this woman that was in Toastmasters with me, that, like I said, about 10 years ago, she works in the same building that I work in, and I saw her in the office in the lobby this week. And so when we see each other, you know, we catch up. I might see her maybe once every 2 or 3 months, maybe even longer. So I hadn't seen her in a while. So we're talking, and she's a dear, too, because she has an issue with her son. And her son is out of college, and she says he's so lazy, and he hasn't found a job, and he wants a job. He graduated from a very prestigious school, and everybody in his class has found jobs. And listen to this: found jobs that begin at $100,000 a year. I mean, just like that. And he's just sitting on, these are her words, he's just sitting on his ass and he's not looking because he wants to find a job worth that much money, I mean, that's going to pay that much. And she's very frustrated, and I've told her, listen, I've stuck my nose in her business a couple of times because, you know, I feel like it's my duty to drop a few pearls of wisdom, if you will, because I care. I care for the little people. Come on, you know I'm joking with that. I care, and I said, and I've told her, I said, stay out of his business. Let him find his own way. And I said, are you still hounding him? Are you still trying to tell him what he needs to do? Are you still trying to tell him how he should be organizing his life? Are you still trying to tell him? And she says, yes, I am. And she used the same two words that the woman used at the bus station. Because I asked her, I said, why? Why are you? Because number one, you're not happy. Number two, you're causing conflict between each other. I mean, somebody that's in somebody else's business, I don't care if it's a parent or not, this right that us parents feel that we have the right to poke our nose into our children's business, and especially their adult children. So she used those same two words. And the last story is, I'm going to tie it all in. Trust me, I'm going to tie everything in, is the story of another woman who, quite frankly, is also a student, or was a student in my happiness class. And the two words that everybody used, that everybody said as their reasons for their behavior, is, I can't. When I asked my former student to relax, she turned around and she said to me, I can't. When I spoke with my friend who was putting her two cents into her son's life and why doesn't she focus on something else? She said, I can't. It's hard. I try, but I can't. And let me say something to you wonderful, wonderful people that throw that out, that I can't, or it's difficult, or it's hard, or I try. And I've shared this with those same two people. Not at that specific time, but I've shared it before, that when you say I can't, number one, you're basically writing out your, you know, you're setting, you're making a program for your future. When you say I can't, you start believing it, I can't. But even more importantly, I want you to know, and it is tossed and it is turned, and nobody agrees with me, especially these people that say I can't or it's hard. You are getting some type of benefit. You are getting some kind of payback. You are getting some kind of a reward for having this anxiety, for not being able to calm down, for not being able to keep your nose out of everybody else's business. You are getting some kind of advantage. That wasn't a good word. You're getting some kind of reward. In other words, you're getting a benefit for saying I can't. It is a place of anxiety. It's a place, this being anxious and saying that I can't take a few breaths and calm myself down and relax with the moment and be patient for the bus, you're getting something out of being anxious. And the only reason, and I'm not saying it's something good or bad, and I'm not like, oh, what a loser you are getting rewarded for being anxious. That's not what I'm saying either. What I'm saying is that notice that there is a fine line of holding on to anxiety and holding on to stress and holding on to this feeling of the opposite of being peaceful. You are getting something out of it, because if you weren't, you would change it up. Listen, I'm telling you this, my dear, dear audience, is because years ago, I was getting something out of staying angry, being stressed out, throwing out my opinion, having arguments, having conflict. I was benefiting from that. There was something in it for me. So, and the thing about saying, oh, it's really hard. Oh, I get that a lot. Yes, Rebecca, you're right. But it's so hard. Human nature is to. No, human nature is not stress. Human nature is not feeling, is not being relaxed. Human nature is not any of those things. We all were taught. We all were programmed. We all were brainwashed to feel this anxiety. Look at a baby. Baby's 1-year-old, 2-year-old. They're sitting in a freaking playpen. No one's around. They don't need to have anybody to play with. They don't need to have anyone on Valentine's Day if you're 2 years old. I learned that. So if you really watch a baby, they're so content, unless they're, you know, they need to be changed or they need to have food, they're content. And so this contentment, this peace, is really our nature. It's our nature. And so it's not normal, it's not natural to be stressed out and be bothered by a bus that's late. And when people say I can't, or they say that I try or it's difficult, I say, you know what? You're absolutely right. but what are you prioritizing? Are you prioritizing practicing calming yourself down in anxious situations? Or are you practicing maintaining the status quo? And this is, that's all I can do, because it's easy to keep the anxiety going. It's a habitual state. And the only reason why I'm saying it, my dear audience, is because I have lived it. It was easy for me to anger up. It was easy for me to just to get pissed off. It was easy. And then what happened? I got so sick and tired of feeling irritated and anxious and argumentative and having fights and arguing. I got so sick of it because I spent most of my life doing it. I was ready for a shift. I was ready for a change. And I said, what the blankety, blank, blank, blank do I need to do, can I do to switch it up? This wanting to feel and experience more happiness, I got my hand up, takes commitment, takes work, takes time. But I can tell you that I am not experiencing life the way I used to, which was a constant battle, a constant struggle, a constant up, down, up, down, up, down. And I'm not talking about what happens to me in life, because things still happen. Oh, my dear audience, I have challenges. Trust me, I am not without my challenges. Life is up and down and up and down. It is the nature of this life. It's the nature of our journey. But what has changed is this internal place. This internal state is not up, down, up, down, up, down. It is a calming, you know how that when a person dies, and that you know, on TV, and the person dies, it's that line that goes, if they're in the hospital, it goes, that is that internal setting. Now, let me be clear. Sometimes that om is a little bit omy om om om. Sometimes. But for the majority of the time, let me give you a percentage. I don't want to give you a percentage. Maybe 80%. Sometimes it's 99% in the day. And every day is different, and every moment is different. So in every moment, it could be a om. And sometimes the next moment, it could go up. But the setting is always that one peaceful, calming setting. And that takes practice, and it takes commitment, and it takes patience, and it takes surrendering, and it takes relaxing, and it takes living in the present moment. All of that, everything that I just mentioned, you have control over it. You have the power to control all of those. Breathing deep. And listen, don't think that it's going to come overnight, because that's another thing people ask me, Rebecca, how did you get here? It's not a quick fix, people. If you would have known me 5 years ago, are you kidding? 10 years ago, bitch on wheels. True. But I'm telling you, my gift, oh, look at that. Here we go. My Valentine's gift to myself is that I have the desire, that I want to be on my deathbed and breathe my last breath with a smile. And I'm not smiling because of what I've done. And I'm not smiling because of how much money. I'm not smiling because of all of my accomplishments or my book on a New York Times bestseller. That's not why I'm smiling. I'm smiling because there is a peace, a peacefulness in my heart, in my soul, in every cell of my body, that I realized what's the truth, what's really important in this life. And what's important to me is to be at peace with everything, with what happens and with what doesn't happen. That is my Valentine's Day gift to you, my dear audience. I want to thank you so much for listening. And I want to remind you that Reality Spirituality is heard every Sunday at 7 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. We're going to have some guests coming up. Of course, I don't have them scheduled yet because, you know, I live in the moment and the future. Sometimes I have them scheduled, sometimes I don't. But we're going to have some guests in the future, probably in the next couple of weeks. I want to remind you that you are a physical extension of the universe. You are always changing. You're always growing. You're always evolving. You're always expanding. Love is patient, and love is kind. Be patient and be kind to yourself. Be your own best friend. Remember, you cannot have a happy ending to an unhappy journey. We're going to connect next week on Reality Spirituality, website RebeccaNorrington.com. Email me at info@RebeccaNorrington.com. Follow me on Twitter at RL Norrington, Reality Spirituality Facebook page. Thank you. Thank you so much for listening. Have a great, great every day of your life.
Yeah, oh, it's time to get real. Oh, yeah.
Spirituality.
It's the newest spirit.
Reality. Spirituality.
Yeah, keep your ears open for this one, man.
Reality. Spirituality.
You got a question for RLN?
Reality. Spirituality.
Yeah, it's time to get some answers, baby.
Reality.